This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. On the line, we have Sluggy and Crystal herself. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Barbados. Good evening, Barbados. Enough love. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan, 434-179-2668-AVOB. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme on the nation's number one station. They have the esteemed pleasure of speaking to a very talented lady, a queen in her own right, you know, three times over. I just want to tell her, great job on putting Barbados' name out there in the region. I don't think that we truly understand how important it is for you to go into a territory where 99.99% of the people are not where you are from, and they'll dominate heavy and imprint our culture. You know, it's a task that is a thankless job, you know that. But I just want to tell you, thank you very, very much for that.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot, Sluggy.
Yes. Now, me, before the game, Junior, so come on, I know Crystal before Calypso, before Soca.
So true.
Yeah, I know Crystal, and you and your piano, your voice and singing, so sweet. Why Calypso?
Why Calypso? I love Calypso. I've always loved Calypso. It's part of my culture. It's part of me. And I, as you know, you would have seen me playing classical piano before with Janet.
You would love it all day. All day you would still like Calypso. You would
love it. And Janet would always say, you know, you're real rhythmic. And even when I think it was like Punka or somebody was asking for a keyboardist, they sent me, and she was like, you could get the job done. I said, but I never play Calypso. But the strange thing about it is that to audition when I was 10 years old to get into the Eminem Music Studios with Janis Milton, I auditioned with Dr. Cassandra on piano. And
nice boy.
I auditioned with that.
I never hear. There's one story that I never know.
Yeah, man. I auditioned with Dr. Cassandra because Gabby is just one of my favorite Calypsonians, favorite writers. And I auditioned with Dr. Cassandra, and she would always tell me, you know, classical music is the foundation. You need to be the best at anything that you put your mind to. You need to be the best. And you also need to be the next Janis Milton. And she was like, not only in classical music, I want you to be the best Janis Milton in anything that you do. And yeah, I think that's my approach for even my arrangements and my writing, you know, to always be the best at whatever it is that I am doing. So, you know, I've done the church gospel music. I've done ballads in Nifka, but Calypso is just part of me, and I am very rhythmic. I like to express myself in that way. I like arrangement. I like writing, and Calypso is the best place for me to do that.
Yes, I remember the first thing. I'd be lucky, like real lucky or blessed, however you want to call it. Remember the first time is either Nifka or BCC exam. One or two, when you do, you did an original. First time to hear you do original. It was
the BCC portfolio exam.
Right. Well, right. You see the brand clicking still. Yeah, and from then it was like, that was wrong with you, because you helped me out in my teen days, and I'll forget that.
You was younger than I am,
but I was in a semi-finals, and you helped me out because you wanted to be the only person that got my own band. You know, we'd always obsessed over live music. We would talk about live music, we corners and circles. But you was younger than I am, but you'd have helped me out a lot. And then for that time, it was like, I remember all these things, I'm actually the bass man playing right bass line, which is the card, a ready song for me in the semifinal. Mm-hmm. That was 1999.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that was at Plantation for the semifinals.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and from then you was very organized, you know, and you do how I do. Make sure you take charge, make sure everybody got the power, make sure it was completely covered. 37 finals from then. You wasn't even into what you're doing now. But you did that then, and that was in 1999. At that time, you knew that you'd be doing this at this level, I mean, producing so many winners and helping out so many young people. You know that at that time, it didn't hit you yet. You am this. Oh, you had to be young. It was young older teenager, and you younger than
him. Because I am younger than you are, and honestly, I didn't even know where music would have taken me, because I was seeing classical music. I was just seeing classical music, that's the truth. But I knew within me, I love Calypso, and I wanted to do Calypso. But the reality is, I was thrown into Calypso since Tanya Clark would have asked me to write a song. I thought she thought that I was playing when I said I would do it. But she said, "Man, write me a song and I would sing." I would just laugh, and she was in Richard Stowe at that point in time, and we just laughed at it, and then I called her back and I said, you know what? I got this song because she said what she wanted to sing about if she would ever sing it in Junior Monarch. And I ended up writing for her, and then that year too, Baby Doll Needing an Arranger, Gabby had written the song. Gabby had written the song, and I arranged the song for them, and I wrote Tanya's song, and then from there on, I just been writing. That was 2003. And I just been writing and writing and been able to get, what, 6 or 7 of the Junior Monarch wins over the years. I've always been able to get somebody in the, well, people in the finals, because I never really had one person in the finals. Sometimes it's so hectic for me that I still had to start getting the team on board, because I remember finals, I had 7 persons in the finals alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a lot of work. My husband would definitely disagree with you on the organized part, but yeah, laughing, but he would.
Boy, there's a different, listen to me. You remember Jeans with a cups coat, then Jeans with a line of print, and then Jeans went police training school. Jeans get best up. That's them ninja subjects. So you got to remember, there's a, like, he's speaking of a different level of organization.
I agree. I'm happy that you support me on my organizational skills. Right? But yeah, man, it's just trying to be the best every time I hit the stage, or every time I put work on the stage. It's just trying to be the best I can be. And, you know, last year was a fantastic year for me in the sense that I was able to meet somebody like Shauna McKenzie in 2012 in Montserrat, my first regional competition. And I've been writing for her since. And she kept saying, for still one day we can win it, one day we can win it. And I stayed up and I listened to the competition last year in St. Vincent. And I was just locked on. I was tired, but I was locked on. And then she called and she said, Crystal. And she was crying. She was like, we did it. We won. And she was freaking out. And I was like, it ain't really getting me at that point in time. Because I was like, this really happening? This can't be happening. And then I was like, oh, shoot, I actually just wrote 2 songs for somebody in the region who won a crown. Like, it was a big thing for me.
Yeah, like, that was crazy.
It's just huge, you know, like, people may see it as, yeah, it's just another win, but I see it as, my God, like, it's amazing. It is fantastic. It's a great feeling. If I saw this as a teenager, no.
it was crazy. That was crazy. And knowing that they love the Adrenaline and Rain because it gives a chance to educate the public, right, as well as entertain. Knowing that you are not submerged in air culture as you would like, but being a writer, you have to take yourself there, even if you haven't experienced it a lot. You still have to put your mind there, because you can't write thinking about Crystal at all, thinking about Barbados. You got to think about music, period. And it's hard sometimes, as we know, Crystal, to separate ourselves from the culture. Like you say, Janice would have told you, got a lot of rhythm in you. Like, you can't get told. And we know in class, follow the proper directions. You know what I mean? Like, follow the 14, the pianissimo, and the crescendo, and the crescendo. You got to follow them straight. So rhythm is exactly the main important part of classical music, is playing the music as it's intended to play. So the fact that she told you that shows that the rhythm was in you. You can't fight it, no matter what. How you take yourself there, and it's 2 songs, not one. And obviously, 2 songs got to be contrasting or different, or you want 2 songs with 2 complete separate messages that could, but she'll be taught in both halves. That couldn't be easy. I know you say, I know you said it simple. I know you just gloss over it, but that is extremely taxing on the brain, especially when life is still happening.
It is, and especially too, we live in what some people may consider a small country. There's only so many issues that are happening, and then you have all these Calypsonians who more than likely will end up singing some of the same things.
Yes.
So what I start to think about is the angle. So the year, especially the year that I did Fly on the Wall, was a lot of things happening, you know, with the church and all these different things. And it was like, should I just sing it like that? Or should I find some kind of angle to bring this over? And I thought of Fly on the Wall. If it was a Fly on the Wall, all the things that you were saying, it's a popular saying here in Barbados. I wish there was a Fly on the Wall to hear this or to see this. So I had to think of angles. So living in Barbados has taught me that even though there are so many issues and so many Calypsonians who will come and sing about the same thing, it's about the angle that you take, the angle that you write from your perspective or somebody else's perspective. And in that song, in the case of that song, it was about the flight's perspective, you know. So you got to be real creative, and you have to make sure that there's a contrast between the two pieces that you sing. And for many years, I would have done something that was heavily religious, as some people may call it, and then something that was more social commentary.
Yeah.
But then I decided to do something a little up-tempo, because people think that when they see me on stage, they see somebody who is very, I don't want to say stoic, but they see somebody who is really serious and all that. But what I can say is in the last 2 years, you got to see who Crystal is off stage, kind of, because with my friends, with my family, I am always laughing, talking something that is so silly. But then on stage, it's like you try to live up to the public expectation of you being almost perfect. And I started to lose myself. So I started to say, you know what, let me just be me by doing something that I love. So Piece of the Rock came, you know, Another View when I got to change characters. That was me having fun.
Piece of the Rock, why not? Piece of the Rock is my song. Well, you know that, I'll get that.
Thank you.
That feels so amazing, like you. This, and Piece of the Rock remind me the Crystal that I know before you see him, lack of a better word, before you know her, before you were so widely known. Piece of the Rock remind me of you from like 15 years ago.
Sure. It's very true. That's why I say, like, those songs that I've been doing in the past 3 years, even last year, one song where I got to dance and do fun things on stage, that is who I really am, you know? I am that person. But I found that, you know, like, if you do too serious, people don't like it. Or if you do too serious, people actually think that that is you off stage. People don't know how to separate the artist from the music, you know? They think, oh my gosh, she's so serious. She has no sense of humor. But really and truly, it's the total opposite. I've been struggling to be serious in real life so much so that my students don't even believe that I am serious at any point in time. Like, I literally struggle with being serious. I always laughing. I'm always making sport at everything. And my husband is sitting down beside me and laughing because he knows it's true, but the Barbadian public don't know that.
The Piece of the Rock remind me, because I know you for being sharp. Like, if you outside, like, Queen's Park, you shade for Teen Talent, or be outside the tent or something. I know you for being sharp. You know, something happen, you pick it up. You catch it quick. Somebody say something sporty or something sporty happen, you pick it up quick. Like, very sharp. That we know you for. Crystal knows. Crystal, that's so stoic and so straight. I mean, I was different, but that came out of a necessity.
Yeah, this is true.
It's when they saw it, always say that comes a necessity because, you know, you're a female singing calypso. You know, man could sing a rambo and jumbo and walk up, even though those sort of make up putting fun songs. But we know ladies can't really sing fun songs just so you I get serious from off. It'd be an unfair advantage for the women, obviously.
So you always seem like some clown, like, you know, like,
girl
is she making sport, but then a guy could come and do it.
Right, make a mess crazy.
I know we have Ronnie there in the studio. Ronnie has done some fantastic work over the years. Had I come and sing some of the songs that Ronnie, I mean, like, serious messages and all, people would not take me seriously. People would laugh. People would wonder if I'm mad. You know, things like that. And they sit and they go like, but this man singing serious things. People hear laughing, you know.
Yeah.
But if I had to sing something like that, people would just be literally laughing and never ever take me seriously. And I think that that's what came with being a Calypsonian in my earlier days, where I could say, you know, I'm going on stage and it has to be a certain way. I can't do certain things because, again, you're female and you're trying to live up to certain expectations. I also had all the juniors under my wing, and it's like, they're looking at me too. They're coming in my tent and saying, on the front, I'm just waiting for me to do something now to tell me when I get into rehearsal with them on Monday evening. Will you tell me this? But look, you're going to do this on stage, and you know, so you always had those eyes on you. But then I got to the point where, you know what, look, this ain't working out for me. I feel as though I am not being who I am and not being true to myself. So I just started to have fun again, and I am totally enjoying it. That's the truth.
Yeah, I guess that'd be the key. But it can, sometimes when you look at it, you gotta say, all right, that was necessary, because the juniors know the benefit, and they see it too. And they can sure you can see it on a higher level than they see it. The juniors can benefit from them things we went through. So you'll be able to navigate.
Definitely.
Not that you want to control their life, or not that you want to shape them to be how you want them to be. But you want them to be how they want to be, but the best way. Which is,
yeah, I have a certain level of professionalism.
And this is something you can understand and explain better than I am, because it's something I will admit on air that I struggle with when it comes to children. Allowing, and I admit this to everybody behind the scenes, never say on air, but it's so hard, Crystal, right? To allow children to be themselves but still be the best. Because you just don't want to be misconstrued for just enjoying it. Yes, you're going to enjoy it, but you got to enjoy the grind. And it's been real difficult. I don't know how you get it, dude, sister, but it's been real difficult to get children to understand that you got to really enjoy this and have fun like you said you wanted to do, and you're doing now, but enjoy the grind, too.
Yeah. I get my juniors to do that because we work as a team. We have lots of conversations, and I've been working with them since 2003. And it's like, when you think about it, when I had Baby Doll and Coco and Najaria and KSC Coffin, like all of these, like it was just a family. And if one person win, everybody up on the stage behaving as though everybody had a trophy and everybody was monarch. And we got them to understand, look, you're going to have fun, you're going to enjoy this, but at the same time, there's a certain level of professionalism that you must have. You are a child, yes, but I don't expect certain things from you. It was always about teamwork and building a brand, so to speak. You know, like, this is Junior Monarch. At the end of the day, you are role models. You may be children, but there's also that younger child who's looking up to you. So as long as you get children to understand that, then I think it's smooth sailing from anywhere, you know? So that was it for me.
Avery mentioned Coco. Remember they had a yearly Coco mess up?
Yes, Mr. Forgetful. He sang
the next year, he got real easy. And that was when he was real young. When they saw it, I was like, I didn't know how I want to actually get across. Because he was really the messed up Crystal. He was shouting at me. He was on.
Definitely.
And something happened and he was totally devastated, boy. And then come back like nothing. And I mean, with real support. And I seen this in Junior Monarch. I see children in Junior Monarch never come back from that. They've gotten a lot of children in Junior Monarch that get country that fears, and we never see them again, as you will know, because you will know. Thousands, not that. Never come back.
Never come back from preliminaries. Never show the face again around Junior Monarch. But
yeah,
because of the team. With Coco, he came off the stage, he felt bad, and I would never forget, we used to work with Carlos Palmer. And he was more motivation for them and fitness. And we would meet at UE almost every single evening. And this was before I was studying at UE. And then during my studies at UE, we would meet and I would sacrifice my evenings for my group. And we would go through every single thing. So let's say we have a show, the semifinals or whatever. We would sit and we would talk about what went wrong. When Coco forgot it, forgot all his words, we sat down. He felt bad and we understood that. But we had a good laugh at it. And then he was like, you know what, if y'all need me, y'all presentations or whatever I did. And we didn't even worry about it so much because we knew that we would have done, we were willing to do everything it took to get him back on his feet for the following year. And I was like, Alpha, what do you think I should write for Coco the next year? Alpha, Crystal, write Mr. Forgetful. And they start laughing. He said, "You're laughing, but it's serious. Even for Big Woman song that I wrote for Baby Doll, I call him and I say I got it for Baby Doll for the first time. What do you think I should write?" I mean, he put on the phone, he coming back, he said, "Write a song named Big Woman song." He didn't give me any information on what I should write. He said, "Big Woman song." And I just took that concept and I ran with it. And Coco, the same, Mr. Forgetful, and he came back and he won with it. And I was like, wow. You know, like, how could somebody be so, according to the public, be so bad the year in front and then come back and win? You know, like, these things don't happen to everybody. And as I say, some children give up. After preliminary, you didn't get through the first year. Maybe the second year, you try again. But then you don't come back. But it's because you don't have, sometimes you don't have the right people in your corner to encourage you. And it's about self-confidence. When you're young and you see everybody else getting through and you're the ones left behind, it's like, oh my gosh, well, I got to be real bad. You know, I got to be real bad for you. But it's not that you're bad. It's just that you need some work. But who's willing to work with you? If you don't have anybody to work with you, then you just fall by the wayside.
Yeah, yes, and this is one of the stories that is so glad that I got a chance to speak with you about, because that Coco story especially, I wanted to talk about that so long. But
yeah,
many people that would remember obviously won't be on the phone. And then people in like you and I who like be obsessed with this thing. So these small stories, we can remember if it happened yesterday and talk about them for years and years, even if it's not on the radio. But that is that story to me, like, when I see that, I said, I wish that this is something that I could speak about at some time, because I know Coco, like, we know Coco off the stage, you know what I mean? Especially as a young man, a young black boy, too, you know, come from certain parts, living certain lives, you know, Coco from small. And and to get him, to get a child like him, you know what I mean? And no, Coco, real good, no record, to get a child like him to come back from that so easy. Like, say, whoa, boy, if a lot more children had this type of team, you go along with your vehicle. Like you said, like, I was fortunate to go to some preliminaries, go to semifinals. I see children that I know that real good. Can't even find them. Can't even find the parents. It wasn't on radio yet. Now we're on radio, might find them a little bit easier. But we like, you know, you can't be so after 2-3 years, like, Crystal, we've become a so and so.
Actually, Sluggy, I think that year that Coco won, we had done a retreat as a group, because I did that with my group. And we would rent like a guest house, and all of us, the parents would just sign them over to me for that weekend. And from like the Thursday or the Friday before finals or semifinals, we would spend the entire weekend just, you know, just chilling out, going through stuff, talking.
Cool.
Yeah, we used to do that. And we would bring over all the sleeping beds, sleep all over the place, you know, and have, it was a place where it had pool and stuff. And in the morning, we would get up, everybody in the kitchen cooking breakfast, who ain't cooking, you know, prepping for lunch or cleaning up. And we used to live like a family. And that's how I got so many results from them kids, because it was about respect. They understood. They would call me Auntie Crystal. And then I would have somebody come out, would sometimes come in, and he would talk to them about stage, about presenting themselves, and, you know, getting them, psyching them up, and trying at the same time to kind of calm them down if they're nervous. But that's what we used to do with the juniors, with my group that I wrote for and arranged for, and trying our best to make sure that we see everything holistically, not just, you know, not just getting on stage and singing, but you got to understand your song. And we used to make them say the song backward, make them start the songs in the middle, just in case you forget something, you don't get too scared, you could pick up from somewhere else and start. You don't have to stop, because the lyrics are there in your head, and we used to go over them all the time, because it's about camp. It's about having these kids in a camp, almost like a concentration camp, and not a serious concentration camp, but you know what I mean? Like, getting them to focus is a competition. And if you say you want it, you got to get it. You got to go after it. You know, so that's some of the things that we used to do.
that is great. And it's good for people to see that a win is just a win. You know what I mean? If we just being honest and real here, you know, and be speaking to the public especially, a win ain't just a win. That way, when things happen, like, they can understand, you know what I mean? Because these things behind the scene is really important. It's be hard to get in parents and the public sometimes even our friends and peers in music to really understand. But it's like, if you play a sport, it's like you can go and stretch a lot. You can do a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups. You can work on form. If you're showing the shot put, you can make sure your hands strong. You can make sure your technique good. You can make sure you follow through with showing the shot put. But when you're practicing or you're warming up or you're putting in a workout, Crystal, it don't look nothing like the actual day you're doing the shot put.
It's true.
What's she doing? What's she doing? She has sore. What's she doing that so many times? I don't know. What's she putting the ground for? She laying on first. She only trying to shot put. But then you got to try the shot put now. You can feel so easy and sweet. Like, you know, we can only see like when you get the gold medal. You know what I mean? But the things inside. So these type of people like music and art, as we will know, is like that. Like these things is really help because being with people, right, and build your confidence, whether you children or not, because even with some adults, they do it. Don't even know what you're doing, what you're doing this, where you come hang out, where you're talking this, where you're having this conversation, and then they're doing music, where you're doing these exercises or whatever. But then they will realize you. It's so comfortable on there. Like, it was so good stage. You know, we never started. It just do my thing. It just come like routine. And because you make it a habit, so like, and it's something else you do with children. You're obsessiveness. I guess that's from being with Janice too, because Janice was
it's true.
Janice was all the way out there. So like, she's a person that will make you practice something that you can't get do wrong. Like, and that's a different level. That's a different level, yes. But that's a different level, no, Crystal, for children, normally. And it's it's a good thing to get you to understand. You know, you do something so much that you can't get do wrong. Like, it's just a habit. It's just a routine. Like, muscle memory. Getting excellence at that stage, it must command you. Because getting children to come back from that, I don't think we know how it's important to look at Coco. No, you know, Coco will take a break, come back in music, and hit with a bang. It don't feel semi on stage. You're comfortable. And you can see the work come from, called real work, get played here. Enough more children.
Yeah. Because last year when I saw him at the Sweet Soca semi-final, I was like, wow, this is fire. He was on fire. I was like, nice, Coco. You know, it's good to see. I mean, you could leave the music for a little while, but come back. And when I saw Coco return last year, it was like, this man, it reminded me so much of when he was on Junior Monarch, because not that he has not grown, but the whole attitude and approach, I was like, yeah, boy, the seeds that we planted, I could see them grow. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was nice to see him there.
Yeah, you could tell. Certain things, I couldn't see that. It was any money, like, used to the stage. So, like, when you go, like, far left on the stage, man, she covered people out there and come back in the middle, man, she covered people there. Still covered people in between the left side and the middle, and in between there, he still speak to them and sing to them, and then do it from the other side. Like, there are certain things that, like, you could tell. Even some seasoned people will not study all of those things so detailed when on stage, because you just got a good song. If you work a good song in a good crowd, you'll normally get a result. So some of the things, honestly, you don't have to do, but then they still see you do them, so that means that's a habit. All know he's performing, that he performed last night at Bryce, CMV, no, smaller stage than CMV. So you could see that foundation. And it's always said that them blueprints that you're all creating, what you all have. If we had to get like 1,500 children in at start a camp, I guarantee at least 300 it can be great. You know, to me, it don't be hard. It's just take someone doing anything. So it'd be real glad when you take up some of the youngsters. I know you still got your life to live, but that blueprint, that blueprint can't fail. It's been proven. You could do it with human beings. You could do it with animals. Mm-hmm. You could even do that with plants, Crystal, and it can't fail. That way, the Bible said, train a child and the race should grow. You know, when he's old, he should not depart from it. And that only spiritually, that's for art, that's for plants. Like I said, anything, you take a plant and you tie a stick to the plant when it's small, you could untie the stick at a certain point, and that plant is going to continue going straight and strong. If you take the plant, you bend it from small, and when it grows, you peeling, that plant will never grow up in the air to grow, you peeling, and keep growing, bend all the time. It's the same concept that they saw you play. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Oh, you come. You decide this year. You're doing Soca Monarch for the children, which is needed. It's needed. Like, you could think back from all back in June. Remember, I had Jamie, white boy. Oh, yes, I'm a Jamie. Say, how great great that would have been in a junior soca monarch at the time. A lot of song titles sing, oh, da da na 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 na, Amy Lemonade. You could think of all them soca songs, junior monarch. Sam did well, like White Boy came first, Tito came second once or twice. But you will see a lot of good soca songs. Miguel, interesting, you spoke about Coco. Miguel and Coco, no, like family, move together a lot, see them together a lot. And Miguel from Junior Mar used to sing a lot of soca songs, a lot of ragga soca songs. All that time, you know, we were here at the Ramblings, Crystal Lake. They needed soca. They can get soca on next year. They think about soca on. You know, it got enough to be heard. We hear their rumors.
And it's so true. And you think about it, it's
rumors.
So many
years, over 10 years, we hear the rumors. They go out party morning. No, they had a party morning before. And then you know you're young, you hear the go out party morning. All right, we grew up, now we teenagers, we done school. You know, we in the soccer arena, you hear about it, they can go out junior soccer morning. And it never, ever happened. And you
it's true.
You can't implement policy, you can't implement laws, but you tell yourself, all right. So come on, her. And you did it. Why?
Yeah, because why? As you said, why now? I can tell you why in the first place. Now, it's kind of difficult trying to implement something when you are not one in the building or two in charge of anything. Now, I would have been around, as you know, I've been around Junior Monarch for a while, and some of the things that I would have contributed would have been mentorship, as well as writer arranger, as well as facilitator workshops. And, you know, I would have had certain discussions about things that I thought should be done, things that, you know, to tell you how bad I like Junior Monarch and soca calypso music, I did my thesis based on the Junior Calypso Monarch here in Barbados and Trinidad. That was to graduate from UE to do my bachelor's. Did that. I also submitted that to the NCS. I don't know what happened, but I submitted that. But then I did the cultural industries bill. I did a thesis on that for my master's because I believe in culture. I believe culture is the main thing that brings people to your country. It is how we live. It is how we.
I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad you said it because people don't understand how deep culture is. So I'm glad you're speaking about that, and I'm glad you speak a little bit on that again because the time was on radio and talking about culture, and people calling the time about calypso. I think culture is so much calypso.
People, you know, culture is way deeper than that. And I did cultural studies for my master's. And when you think of the way you speak, the way that we stand up, the way we handle, we kimber, the way that we do certain things, that is a culture. The things that we eat or used to eat in some cases, because some people don't even understand that eating certain things don't even connect with our culture anymore. But there's so many different aspects of culture that when we start to really think about it, we go like, oh, shoot, that's culture for truth, you know. Like, dialect is culture, but I think that when people start thinking culture, all they think about is crop over costumes and music. That is not only that's not the only aspect of culture.
Yeah,
you know, so
it'd be a sweet part, but that's just a part of it.
It's true. It's a sweet part and it's a money-making part, but the reality is it ain't the only part. You know, but I felt as though sitting down and watching certain things for years and not being able to contribute in the way I would love to contribute because I mean, like, just looking at it, I am not a policymaker. I am not in charge of any kind of entity besides ARI Creative Services. So what can you do, Crystal? Do your own thing. And then, honestly, being away from Barbados and competing or doing shows elsewhere, you get to see how much people value you. You get to see how much people value the things that you create. And you get to see what is possible. And for me, I was able to see, you know, in Montserrat, they have their own junior monarch. They have a junior soccer. They got all these different things happening. I was like, but this country only got 5,000 people, though. That's less than a parish in some places. You know, like in Barbados, we got more than 5,000 people in some parishes. Like, how is it that these people, who is like a parish in Barbados, could execute something like this? And we struggling for years talking about it can happen, it can happen, it can happen, and it never happens. So I say, you know what? sat with Paul Clark from Trident Entertainment Network, and we discussed this thing about 3 years ago, you know, of doing something like this Junior Soca Monarch, and it was to come off, then it was to come off again, and then it was to come off again, and then we say, you know what, now is the time. Now, the reality is, Crop Over was canceled. We are on a Crop Over this year, and for obvious reasons, but then there were kids who, you know, when children start to look forward to something, you're going to miss it. Even as an adult, I could tell you some collectors that they're missing Crop Over. Not just for the money, but the whole vibe of Crop Over, the whole feeling you get when you're part of the festival. And I was like, nah, we got to do this more for the children. You know, so we did some editing of the rules because it would have been just virtually because of COVID. But then the country started to open back, and we were like, okay, cool, so we could do a live show. You know, we could do so much with this. And then some of the things I was talking to you about in terms of the workshop, even the, they don't know this yet, but I guess they will know now. So things like a retreat that I used to do with my kids, these ones now, they may get to do something like that, where we could actually sit down and go through the nitty-gritty of the competition and, you know, have some play games and be one family. We spoke about that today. Natalie Burke came in today and she spoke to the kids. It was a wonderful presentation. So things that I would have loved to see, I'm actually doing now. And I started the year by telling my husband and someone else, some close friends, you know, if you can be a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. And I don't want to be part of the problem, so I'm going to be part of a solution. And the solution is for me to get these kids to come and bring proper content. Because Barbados, we need content. We were laughing at it in the virtual meeting the other
content,
day.
Content is king, Crystal. So I gotta keep, when you speak on that again, but content
yeah,
is king.
We definitely need content. I'm honestly tired of hearing, I mean, no disrespect, I'm tired of hearing what is the color love, Billy Ocean. I've been watching Billy Ocean coming across my television for the time of a child. You know, so I don't need to see that constantly now. I need to see some local content. I need to see some more music videos. I need to hear some more songs. So part of this competition is about promoting the children, getting the person who wins gets to film a music video. All the finalists, all the semifinalists, their songs are being recorded and put on air. Put on different streaming networks where they can go and sell their music, make some money from doing it, because we want them to understand, yes, we may love the stage, but there is actually a business part of it that you need to understand. And I have Mikey coming in next week to speak about building a brand and speak about how you actually can make some money from this thing. Loving it is one thing, but there actually can be ways that you make a livelihood out of it, because people think that music is just, oh, you can go and do music, but I have a slight thing. If you can fall back on it. Ain't no falling back on it, because I've made music work for me in the sense that I do music every day. I'm a teacher, so I do music, and I do it in a way that I love, and the IB allows me to do that. So it's not a by the way thing. Music and dance and those subjects now and the art, that's no longer a hobby. They are careers, and we need to get our children into thinking about them being careers and understanding how they can make money for them. And that's what this program is about.
Crystal got cut out?
No, I hear.
Well, good. So you got cut out. Priscilla Rose for, and been here this idea about these packages for these Soca Monarch. You're doing a Soca Monarch, right? Listen, yeah. Listen, these are so affordable, and they just picture of a family vibe. You know, like you are at ballpark, you can bring a child. You know how sweet it'll be, the girl. Soca Monarch, same fun as with my children. And sit down and they go all worry, but cheap.
Yeah.
You did this, you did these packages at these prices to target the public to make sure everybody can enjoy it.
Definitely. Paul had asked about the tickets about 3 hours before we spoke, you know. And
oh.
I thought about it quickly and then was like, you know what? This is one of the things that I thought would have worked with the other competitions, you know? Like, if you do nice family packages, this is a family show, so you got about family packages. And the truth is, some people struggling to make ends meet, but would really love to come out and enjoy a nice evening with clean music, you know? So let's not make it difficult for them. So let's have packages. And a family package don't necessarily mean, oh, Lord, I need to have two children to bring. So I don't have two kids. I only have one. But no, if you have a child and your child has a friend, bring them along. It don't necessarily mean it got to be your child. You know, it could be a teacher bringing two of his students or two of her students. You know,
yes.
Family packages mean we are trying to find ways to get the whole of Barbados in ballpark on the 25th. And on the 8th of August.
Yes, I love that. And I want to give the people the races. It's one adult, two children. I remember saying one adult, two children, $30 only. Or something like that. I didn't want to quote the wrong price.
All right, let me go to it and let you know it is.
I remember seeing something like that. And I thought, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, so adults, $20, children, $10. Then there's a family package. Two adults, two children, $50. One adult, two children, $30. Man, that's so affordable.
That's crazy.
We're looking at it. One child coming free all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And not only looking at it, that's what it is. That's what it really is. One child coming free all the time.
One child coming free all the time, you know, unless it's just a parent and a child. If you bring in a child with you, that child coming free, you know? So we really, really want everybody to come out and support these kids. For the first time competition, this is the first time. I mean, this is even the first time working with the juniors. I have seen 5 students out of CP. I have never had 5 students from Coercion Parry entering any competition that I was in, I was a part of. Never Junior Monarch. But now we have 5 students from Coercion Parry in this semifinal. We have somebody from St. Lawrence Primary. We also have Foundation School being represented, the Lord School represented. So
yes.
I want people to come out, you know, come out and understand. If you went to school at any of these schools, or you even have to go to school at any of them, just come and support the children. The children doing something positive. We always hearing about the youth, this, the youth, that. Come and see 17 youth that, you know, positive. And one of the things that we did that has never been done, because Paul is all for doing things that are different and make sense. You know, Paul is all for that, and I support him totally. So here it is. We had 2 girls singing, and they were good at the audition. That's the truth. They were good individually. But then the teacher had asked before, you know, what's the possibility of them singing together? They always sing together at school, and they're best friends. When these 2 girls came together, the energy was so different. So we decided, you know what? After the judges did their marks and everything with our new system we have, we spoke to the judges and everything. The judges spoke to us and they said, you know, they really work well together. What y'all think? And it so happens now that they're in the semifinals as a duet. You know, so we are allowing that because these girls can work together. You never know, they may be the next big thing in Barbados in terms of 2 girls on stage, 2 young people, positive people singing and bringing positive messages. And also, it's just about the children and making them as comfortable as possible. And you can see that they were happier together. So they stuck together. And that's what it is for the semifinals. So I just want people have been messaging me about tickets. Tickets are going to be available. I spoke to Paul. He said they'll be available by Wednesday, hopefully this week, coming. So just stay tuned to our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter. You can even send us an email at juniorsocamonarch.bb@gmail.com. You can give me a call. You can give you a call.
When it comes to the ticket, I will assure the listeners that I will have information on tickets, and I will personally get tickets for the people. So young girl, and I give up my number all the time for Eric Dorman. You know that I rust, so I can manage it. Give them 236-3534. Call me, bug me, message me, WhatsApp me, whatever. Just give up my landline and my cell number, because I tell my listener, I personally want 20 tickets. So Starcom listener is going to give me 20 tickets for 20 children. I think this is so important. And another thing you touched on before you go, that is so important, Crystal, is groups and that togetherness in that fellowship. So you see having 2 girls together. If you check now in our cultural landscape, in a lot of things, especially a lot of genres, because we got reggae, circle, whatever genre you want to go, there's not a lot of this groups anymore. You saw it a lot one time, but you don't got nobody in the circle minor. You're not going to see two ladies sing together. Even in the junior calypso minor, you're not going to see two children sing together. A lot of time on even the teen talent, you're not going to see two girls sing together a lot. So it's something that don't happen a lot, but it's something that's needed. You know, we need... They're nothing like a good group or a good duet. They're nothing like it. So I think it's so sweet of you all to do that.
Yeah. So actually, one of our contestants is a twin. And we were hoping, and both of them sing, and we were hoping that his twin brother would have been part of the competition too, because then we would have had two sets of, you know, duets happening. But,
so where did you know, bro? This is the first one.
So I am sure you know how we're going to roll next year. And plus, too, as I said, this competition is about bringing music so that our little children could dance at their junior kadumut next year when they're in the pretty costumes and everything. I was so impressed to see all of these children who auditioned last Saturday. They came out. You hear all kinds of things with the young people. They had one child in there that was disrespectful and funny, grown walking up and doing all kinds of things. No! They came, they sang, they were great. They showed that, you know, there's a certain level of respect that they have for themselves.
Yeah.
And we continuing to preach that. Natalie touched on that today. Natalie's presentation was so good. I sat down and I took notes and I said to her, you know, you said stuff to me today and you spoke to me because it's good to know that some artists out there are going through the same thing that I am going through or went through the same thing. And there's always something to learn. So whenever there's a workshop, I try to attend because even though people may say, well, you use Crystal, like, you do this already, you do the next, there's always something to learn. So I had all my kids there. They brought books. Who didn't bring books, had tablets, and who didn't have anything. I walk with paper. I'm a teacher. So I walk with paper, and I walk with a pack of pencils, and people had to take notes because you have to understand that this is important. These are master classes. And in some cases and in some places in the world, you got to pay for these things. And people coming and giving their time. So you got to respect them. You got to take proper notes and, you know, just put everything that they say as, you know, as close to your heart as possible because it will come into play or at some point in time in your career.
Now, so don't get to tell you, Natalie's one of the greatest ever.
Yes, she is.
Singing soca,
singing ballads.
You know what I mean? Like, Natalie got one of my favorite ballads ever. I ain't talking favorite Beijing ballads. Favorite ballad. Turn on the lights. Stay by my side. Natalie's a legend.
She is.
July 25th, Crystal. July 25th, be outside, according to the young people.
Yeah.
According to the young people, July 25th, be outside. What time are we starting?
We're starting at 5 o'clock on the dot.
That we're talking about. And it's how many contestants?
There are 16 contestants.
That we're talking about. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, And of course Monday we're giving all your information and again they got you on every day that we answer this. So you don't gotta worry, you know, I give you my word and keep it to my word. We can do this thing because it's needed. This is the first one that's never been done. But soca music is the music that's taking on the world now. So we need to push this. So this is not the final one, so I'm not saying goodbye. You know, maybe that's finished for now. But joining me, of course, you're not going to be calling on you again because we need to keep the public at the best because this is the first ever junior soca monarch, the first ever, not the second or the third, the first. You know, this is history. I know you're studying it like that. I know you're busy working hard behind the scenes, and I mean to put more pressure upon you, but this is history in the making.
True.
You are wonderful as usual.
Looking forward to this.
Yes, you are wonderful as usual.
Thank you.
I don't know how you continue to do it, but you just continue to do. You are intelligent beyond your years. You know, like I said earlier on radio, you are younger than I am, and I'm still in my 30s. It's been an absolute pleasure to see you grow from time to time, and I'm extremely proud as a cultural practitioner. You know, as a person behind these scenes and as an artist, I'm proud of everything you're doing, my sister, and I wish you all the best always.
Thank you so much, Lucky. Thank you.
Yes, manners and respect. Good. Bobby, that was Crystal Cummings Beckles for the, you know, songwriter, singer, arranger. She does everything. I want to thank her for joining the agent, Rhythm and Rhyme. Up next, they got my boy Ramses to come and release this tune on Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Ron, you got Ramses ready?
You mean Ramses for 2020?
Yes!
I believe we have Ramses for 2020 here. Let me just put R-A-M inside there. And She Liking Me is the name of the song.
Yeah,
She Liking Me. So let's drop it, let's drop it, let's drop it, let's drop it.
They can't see me free to do as me please, cause she like Ramses. They can't see me free to do as me please.
The clock in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean, and of course we're live on VOB 92.9 FM, Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. We've got Sluggy and Ramses.
Oh, good evening, my brother.
Good evening to you, Sluggy. Good evening to the biggest Liverpool fan I know, Mr. Ronnie Clark. Congratulations on winning the title.
Thank you, Pep Guardiola.
I had to thank him for the draw today because I don't want Liverpool to get to 101 points. So
we'll get it, though. We'll get it.
That would devastate me if they get that much points.
Yeah.
Listen, Ramses, for
yes,
this one, the release for 2020, there's no crossover. You know, they're in the competitions, but you still bring a song of this quality. And I mean, music, the music's sweet, so we got to get into who do the music. And play the melody a lot. But the feel, you got that feel, not just Bajan, but it got a Caribbean vibe.
Yeah.
But I could still hear a piece of a North American vibe, you know, like a place like that, Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake or Chris Brown. Like, you write your song yourself or you use the right to this thing?
No, this is Just D. So, you know, it's coming off of last. To be honest, I wasn't really going to, like, do a tune, like, release a tune this year. But I was talking to Scott LaRock, and Scott LaRock was like, man, you know, you should really do something, you know? And, you know, it's coming off of last year with it really sound, you know, like, not liking Ramesses, don't like Ramesses.
Yeah.
You know, we was finding the, it was, you know, like, just filling in with set ideas and thing, and, like, finding a way to, like, kind of, like, type with people because they got like a lot of real positive response and people
of course,
and saying, you know what I mean, don't quite stick to it and things. So it's trying to find a way to like type with people and things, but you know, you don't just want to come out and someone saying thank you and you know what I mean, and like sound like kind of boring or whatever, you know, you say thank you a million things to people.
Trying to find a way to
do something that is really like catchy and witty and have people like actually like thinking and stuff like that, you know. So you know, you came up with Just D, and we just like, man, Just D got come up with something, you know, because sometimes I find you might have like you know, ideas and different things, but you know, you might be like caught in a way, like let somebody like do the expression for you and it really comes out. So I think he did a superb job because he wanted to make something like really witty. So the is a really different tune, as you say, like compared to like the social commentary aspect of don't like Ramesses. This one is like really different. And also, you made a very good point, Sluggy, where you said, you know, like, there's no crop over and stuff like that, and it's not with this quality. You know, I always try to do quality music, like always. And we were also thinking, you know, like this is Barbados, but there's something called the world. And if you listen to it, we have like some African kind of like world beat kind of music in it and tones and that kind of thing. So I was like, you know, we want some really like international, you know, that could like play anywhere and like, you know, make a crossover and stuff like that. And the theme is also like, the theme was the main thing we thought, because you always try to get like a chorus that people could like sing along to or that kind of thing. So there? Yeah.
Sluggy, you still there? Sluggy.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. You can hear me now, Ronnie. Can you hear me? You got me?
Finally.
Yeah, we're lost for a little bit. Yeah, but you're back now, yeah.
Well, good. See, all right. Now you plug in.
Yeah.
You mentioned last year. And you've had huge years before, obviously. Like, huge. Whether it's Crop Over or Conglin, you've had some tremendous years. But last year, Ramesses, I know you had to hear the ramblings. It was huge. Everybody was like, you. It's a really good song. Yeah. And at the finals night, you got a good response. You know, you saw you was happy.
Yeah.
You looked really comfortable. But this was the first time, I think, that you was in the Pick of the Crop finals.
Yeah, that was my first time, yeah.
But I mean, you were so comfortable. Right? That whole appeared to me. Obviously, I didn't know behind the scenes. But what gives you that comfort? Being in such a competition that you know Pick the Crop from watching, you know you gotta concentrate, you gotta be on point.
Yeah.
But what gives you that comfort, bro? Being in the competition, the first thing, what gives you that comfort still?
Well, first thing you gotta say, it comes from God, you know, you gotta thank God for every single thing that you do.
True.
You know me, every day, every morning you wake up, I give God thanks before you go to sleep. I pray to live a sinner day, pray for my kids, stuff like that. So, but a lot of work went into it, too. It was a lot of work because I wanted to come out and, like, you know, I mean, not only sing the song, but present, like, a great stage performance and have the, like, you know what I mean? Like, make it, like, a nice visual that even, that it could be something that people will remember, you know? I did not
know
that stage, but I'm sure people might remember, yo, that was a kind of, I tried to make, like, really, like, a spectacle, you know? So, like, you know what I mean? Like, the whole theme of, like, King Ramesses and, you know, having like some fireworks thing at the end, and you know, it was great for me, and it was also a lot of fun for me. Yeah, to be honest, I had like, you know, the big stage and you know like the big boys and thing up in there. You know what I mean? But I've seen as like the odd man out. To be honest with you, like being among the pack, you know. But I didn't really feel like the odd man out. But I guess everybody probably looked at me that way. But I just kept, you know, saying my prayers and stuff like that, and I had God with me, so My daughter was hearing from Canada too, so that was a real big comfort for me, you know what I mean? And it was a great experience.
Yeah, but it was lovely to watch, bro. Performing at the Paramount Finals, because you were in Paramount Finals already on numerous occasions.
Yeah, yeah.
The performing at Paramount Finals and then the Piggy Clock stage, how different was it?
It's really, really different, to be honest with you, because with the Paramount stage, you know, people are more in a party mood. It's like, sometimes I would say, like a younger crowd. So people, like, you know, me out the party, I'm really enjoying the money that they spend and stuff like that. So the party market stage is be kind of like me, like I'd be real relaxed. I know, like party market is going to be so serious, and some of the tensions backstage that I see, like with other artists, I'd be like, whoa, you know. But I don't really, I take it serious in terms of the art form, but I don't really, like, you know what I mean, like go that crazy. But to me, the party market would be more comfortable and stuff like that too, because I mean, it's like kind of easier in terms of the judging, because like how you sing, you know, with Piggy Crop, you gotta make sure that you figure all your words and everything. Piggy Crop is like, they say about 10 things harder than the party morning, honestly.
Whoa. Boy, 10 times harder.
Yeah, to me, because like, it's the concentration level, even like with party morning, you know, you got your song and you probably like know it because you'd be performing it and stuff like that. But
yeah,
with the,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Piggy Crop, no. You got to make sure that you're really on point, because you're going out there really, you know, like the top of the top. Because, like, there's hardly, like, a year, like, in Maine, if Piggy Crop, that is not really top of the top. And really judging criteria Party Monarch, being that Party Monarch criteria changed, sometimes a lot of the popular songs get left out. So it don't be like, you know, you don't feel that pressure unless you're, like, probably, like, a Lil Rick or Mikey or, I mean, that those guys are really, you know what I mean? Like, they mean it's got a lot of pressure on itself, I mean. It'd be like tremendous, because like, you know, I guess they will be like really, really into it. Not saying that I'm not into it, but you know,
no,
I guess
it's a different reason than
them saying that sponsor
in it for the music.
Yeah. Right, not only that, so they'll look at like the sponsorship level of like, say, like a Mikey or a Aaron or a Lil Ray and stuff like that. You know, like sponsors, you know what I mean, they'll be looking for, you know, to really get something from it too, because so. It'd be a lot more pressure on those guys, even more than some person like myself, you know. But in terms of Piggy Crop, I mean, you have to be very, very, very on point, especially with your lyrics, with your melody, with your rendition. You have to, the concentration level is the same place harder. It's telling you, if you got to really, really concentrate in terms of getting your lyrics out, you know. For the money, you can make like a mistake or two and you can still win, because you could skip in anything. You could, like, you know, put in a extra word online of one thing, you really notice, because you gotta be on point. You gotta be, your concentration level gotta be like so good, and you have to have like a good week too. You know what I mean? With not the wifey or the girlfriend or nobody pressuring you, or you know, you have to be a real sound mind.
Yeah,
telling you.
Yeah, that's true. I remember.
And
I
you need real good support too. You need good support in that competition to people that really backing you and with you, you know, family and friends. So you know who your true friends are and your real family and who really for you. That's when you know that kind of thing.
That is true. That is very, very true, Grandma. I remember seeing you with Folka, obviously. But I remember seeing you with one of the songs I thought was really, really good was Oh, Jump Up This Guy.
Yeah,
remember hearing that, like, you know, all day for you, melodies and songwriting, that melody and story was good, but on that day too, on the finals, you were on point.
Yeah, I was surprised you didn't play that, because I really, like, put everything into that, because I love that song too, you know, I could have feel it, so I made sure that, like, I sang that song, like, from my heart, man, and the presentation too, remember what we did, remember Rusty had done the Voice of God. And like you know what I mean, like at the beginning of the song, like, you know, like came down from heaven to sing the song, and then it was like God giving me a chance to go down to Carnival, you know, and as soon as Carnival done, back up to heaven, and the whole concept and thing, the creativity behind it was amazing, and that was like normally in competition you can expect anything, you know what I mean, so you just don't try not to be like disappointed, but that year. I was disappointed because I actually thought I should have placed in that one. Because if I had never placed in
that year, yeah, that year with that song, especially Ramboy, that year everything was spot on, and your team at the time, you got to say kudos to your team at the time.
Yeah, man. For sure, you guys playing real work, boy. Sluggy, you with that rhythm percussion thingy, boy, that was amazing. Then we had a big thing, and a lot of work into that, because remember, we had to rent this thing from the Chinese embassy.
Yeah.
And all kind of thing, boy. Yeah. And we had to get like these big costumes and stuff like that. Yeah, it was really, really very well put together.
Yeah, boy, but and that did change everything a whole lot. People see you at that time. That was really, really great. And then remember, your team is really important here, we tell you. Like, and that we say is playing out. You said you make a statement just no right that you can just touch, man. You say it's playing out who your real family is, not because you've got relatives and you've got family. You know what I mean? And I know you said that and it real deep and you just gloss over it. But when you said that, my brain tuned in because you understand that so much. Because people see you got a big family, but you've got a lot of relatives, people that are related to you.
Very true.
Few of them is be your family.
Very true.
Your friends learn who your friends really are. So a good team is really important. So when people see certain people getting through, don't think it's not always talent alone. Yeah, we tell my brother is who could be around you. Sometimes your life would be so busy that you just can't afford to got a big team focusing on you because you still got more more than one career. With your mind, you got more than one career on 200 levels. It's very hard to manage. Picking crop last year, whoever your team was last year as well, I must commend as well, Ramon, because whoever you were with last year, it was brilliant as well from hearing the song for the first time. And then hearing, I'm just going to judge this song. The word was out there all over the place. And then at the finals, you know, don't get tight. And I know you know this. Everybody comes. And everybody that was there want to see, oh my God, it wants you around. This is going to do. That feeling ain't easy, Ramon.
That's really easy for a team.
Whoever your team was, that's really easy to navigate. Because even if people come to support Classic, even if they come to support whoever they are, the thing is, it was still there on the ground was, I want to see what Ram Morgan do.
Yeah.
And you come up on stage and the presentation and everything was well together. That like you going back. You will do it again, my brother. I mean, if you go up pick the crop again sometime after you get out to the woods, get this thing, you will go back and pick the crop again.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, if it's God's will, you know, for sure. Once I have the right song and stuff like that, of course I will go back. You know, even like walking around and stuff, like, you know, a lot of people come up to me and say, man, great job still, you know what I mean? You know, like that sounds like your genre. I know you could have sing so, I know you could have handled, you know what I mean? So it's a commentary, but you're not really good at singing it, you know? So it was like a surprise to, I guess, the people and stuff like that. And they got some really good reviews and things. But you know, he did commentary.
Body bikes.
Darren Grant did that one, Darren Grant also did the music last year for the recording for Don't Let Ramesses. I gotta say a big kudos to Shane Jones and at your Webster as well.
Yeah, my Water Street boys for sure. Yeah. Salute Darren for sure.
Cecile for the identity presentation and stuff, and Frank Station for the big Ramesses. We had the big frames and stuff. Thanks to Mont Gay and got some good help along the way, to be honest with you.
I always following all the time, but how I really got hooked on to you and your style of writing and believe it or not, and hearing about you writing songs for people outside of BIM and Roy Marsh and all that was my buddy Dwayne.
Believe it or not.
Not a musician or whatever, but Dwayne is who said Sluggy. I told him years ago when we were young, check out these songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I just write these songs and it been Roy Marsh down the road, down the island, sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, from then I was plugging, so salute Dwayne for sure.
And
and I'll always see Rusty in your corner too.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, so Rusty, another
double
one that
explosion,
that
boy.
Hmm?
Double explosion days.
Yeah, boy.
Big Wheels, that was a big tune, boy.
Listen, that was one, you know, the song that might not have been a real match or whatever, but it was the biggest song that year. That was one of the songs.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That was the tune of the crop.
Yeah.
Yeah, for really. How do I ram all the hole? How do you get time? Because, you know, you are like a wine, not like, you are a wine specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And before this COVID, no, me following you on social media and WhatsApp and so on. So you travel a lot and go all over the world representing your company, which God be really taxing, because I travel. I ain't travel a lot as much as one of the guys, but I travel a lot. Not as much as y'all, but a lot. And traveling, bro, and dealing with airport and customs and security and different cultures and go handle your own trouble, on location trouble. That real taxing, Ramses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's very, very taxing.
Yeah, it's very tiring, too. It's very tiring, especially if you got, like, trips, like, close together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good experience, but sometimes it'd be really, as you say, taxing because, you know, me, I have things already. I travel, say, like, to France, to Paris, and then have to go to the Champagne region or Connacht region, and then you get off the plane and you go straight there, like, what 2 hours or so drive, and then we get to the hotel, you like go straight to work or something. So, and then the time difference and things. So sometimes it'll be really hard. And the people might see it as luxury or whatever, but sometimes the schedules are so, because you gotta remember too, everything is a cost. So, you know, every day you have the hotel
everything.
Is a cost. Every lunch, every dinner, every breakfast is a cost. So something.
Yes, probably everything you left is a go anywhere.
Yeah. So some things, like things that you might be supposed to do in a week, you got to do it in 3 days, you know, to cut down, you know, these
costs and save costs.
Yeah. So it's be like that. Some things where the schedules are very, very demanding, and you end up working, like, you know, more than 8 hours for sure, because then after work, they might have an event or something to attend, you know. So sometimes it's morning to morning. So you get in, like, say, at 1 o'clock. You leave, like, probably 8 o'clock in the morning. You get in 1 o'clock in the morning. You've got to be up again by 7 to leave at 8, you know. So, it's you have to be, like, mentally prepared for that as well.
And that career alone, because you mentioned just now, is crazy. So, that career alone, then still writing. And then at home, you are also... But people know it or not, like, at home you are associated with a lot of events. A lot of businesses and bars and clubs. Like, I mean, it'd be crazy. Because I would know, because I would see the logo or the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
And every time I see, be like, how Ramo doing all these things and still writing music?
Yeah. So that's the toughest part of it, too. That's the toughest part of it too, like, you know, like being like because now I've like still like gone like 3 or 4 promotions since the company. So now I'm like the events manager for Mountain Gear, in the whole in Barbados. So in dealing with like Mountain Gear, Rama, Remy Martin, and like the other brands we carry, like the Boston Chain and stuff like that. So, you know, I get a lot of proposals per day, and the phone always ringing, because this is the part that can make people love you or hate you too, because at the end of the day, my job, you know what I mean, is a very strenuous job, and you have to tell people no sometimes, because you can't do everything. You only got a budget to do certain things. I know with COVID-19, it's like it's even harder. So you have to be very, very, very
careful. Yeah, harder.
Yeah, and you have a budget, but you have a certain amount of sales that you have to bring by using your budget. So it's called a return on the investment. So it's really, really tough sometimes. You know, there might be things that I would like to do, but I can't do. There might be people that, you know, feel like I get the sponsor and should sponsor, but I can't do it. And then, you know, this is Barbados. People take a lot of things personal and stuff like that. And then they might not see it as the company.
Yeah, but it's so small too.
Yeah, so it's been real tough because like, even like, you know, out in the trade, you know, we have sales reps and stuff, but as a manager, you know, if my phone is going to ring, I'm going to be the first person I get the call if somebody runs out. I remember we had a problem last week, Tuesday, you know, you found out today, where Mollers and Bollers ran out of Remy Martin at 12 o'clock, and they only found out about it today, and then, you know, it's going to be like, if it's like any Remy Martin or get everybody going to be like, wait, Ramesses, why this, why that? Might not be my fault, but at the end of the day, I'm the person representing the brand and stuff like that. So,
that's the hard part, you know, though.
It's really, really tedious, especially when you got, you know, so much proposals coming in. People may want certain things, might only be able to do X and Y, probably doing X, Y, and Z, and they might not understand, and then might be people get vexed, people get angry, you know, people get things personal. It's a very, very, very tough job. It's like kind of like being a politician on a different kind of level, you know.
Yes, and then the whole people can see you as like if you own it. That's be the hard part. I think you gotta deal with, because people can think it's as if you own the company you're working for. And being but you are an artist, Ramon, right? This is the part where it's marvel at you. Being but you are an artist, a musician, songwriter, everything. And you obviously be at the police, you work with Justy. Then you see work with Darren Grant, and you see work with you spoke about how he met you and work with YouTube doing Gazette. You spoke about Rust. You know all different people. Who know different people? So then you gotta
can't forget Branker. So I was just talking about Chris Norman and also Nicholas Branker and one of the biggest upcoming producers, Steffa as well. I work a lot with Steffa Rocker now too.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually did a song earlier this year with Steffa and Rocker called Donald Trump. It's a power soca tune. And it's coming out really well as well.
Of course. But then being with all these circles, you know, majority of the events that you're going to be doing, they can be with your peers as well, but then in a different setting. And we have for when people drink alcohol, walking up, enjoying themselves. So then you go, you know, like you said, you may go for a $1 budget, and you may go 10 people that want $40.
Exactly.
Sing with them. You still go enjoy yourself. And then may you finish, go back to that capacity. Like managing the two must be a really great balancing act.
Yeah, my thank God.
It does see things on stage. When you go on stage, that'd be your relief.
Well, you know, it'd be two different people, or like you mean, like you know, because it's like Ramesses, the manager, and it's Ramesses the artist. My other job also is Ramesses, the father. So,
correct.
You know, it's like, you know, three different roles that I kind of play. So I just got to, like, you know, like, take off the Ramesses manager suit and put on the kit as Ramesses, the artist, and hit the stage. And then when I'm home around the kids and stuff, it's a different thing. You know, for instance, like, if we out and think we might have a drink together, anytime we're out with my kids, and like if I take them dinner or take them to a show or anywhere, I don't even touch a drink. You know?
That's very true.
Yeah, the main thing about it is being disciplined. You have to be very, very disciplined. And as I said, the job is a very strenuous job, it's very hard, long hours and everything. And it calls for a lot of strength, because sometimes, you know, people might say things, people might try to put you down, people might lash out, but you still gotta try to always remain professional. So I thank God a lot for the strength and everything, because it's not something easy to deal with, like all the things, to be honest with you.
Bro, like, for sure. The only God, though, like, if we being real, you know, we ain't trying to be too religious, but be just being honest, bro. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Only God.
Only,
only God, Ramo, like, for real, real, it's only God, because it'd be a hard time, because Sana is just being favorable positions, like, I might be doing a project with NCF, or I might be doing a project like commission by CN3, or I might be doing a project commission by Randy, or I might be doing things in McBride, which is something that you also helping with, like doing things with Barbadian artists, and when they hear the lady like, eyes on radio stations, you know, we hear your brand, be like, whoa, Ramon behind this. And then people will come out here, you know, you can't help everybody, can't put everybody on the show, can't pay everybody.
Sure.
Still, the show must go on. It's about sometimes being nice, you know, you like, it really be tear come back because you're like, shh, I can't do this for that body, anybody don't understand. I really wish I could help the name, but I can't, anybody understanding. But then suddenly you go, snap out to it, and say, like, see me?
Yeah, you gotta be strong. Yeah, because sometimes it's not being nice. But being nice, you know, it's enemy and a thing. But people don't understand. You know, you're working for an international company, because a lot of people don't know that Remy Martin is who actually owns Montgay, and Remy Martin is a French company. So sometimes a lot of these things will be right here, because the artists would call me and say, I don't know a video I want to get. Like, somebody call me, I didn't want to play balls or remind of playing a video. And they don't understand. I say, well, you know, that's a big horse. You gotta send the song, I gotta send it to get it back, and you gotta so they can hear your lyrics and the song and everything, then they can need a script for the music video and all these things, but they don't understand. Man, you can't be like, go do all of that. But they don't understand, it's my job. So it's not me that can make the final decision.
Yeah, like you said, it's an international company, and not saying that you are not successful, but we were thinking that you own, you know what I mean? But all the people be people still, but the fact, like, you don't own Remy Martin.
Yeah, people think that you
two worlds, so I just want to speak about that, because the two worlds, Ramo, is I know for you. And I don't hear you speak about it a lot. You don't complain, you just put your head at work. But when you're speaking to you, I just tell myself, Rams, these two worlds had to intertwine a lot, boy. That's a serious thing to navigate. Like you said, me being privileged sometimes is see it, boy. See what you got. People feel it. You got that power that you don't really got.
Yeah.
You just, exactly. Because what's happening to you, they'll use do. And I got to get to speak to you, the person and the artist, right? Not me to expose all your greatness, but I like people to hear these things people go through, right?
Yeah.
You would do things that you shouldn't. You will help where you should not. You will know that, listen, I'm stretching it here, but you're helping, but you will not let us know that. You will just have to walk here, Sluggy. So then people will take it for granted, man, he can help because he's always helped. But suddenly you help, you think supposed to, but you have to push it to your boss a little more when you know you really shouldn't. You ain't above and beyond. That is crazy.
You know
this thing. Serious.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have to address on behind the scenes in terms of my job, but there's certain things that, you know what I mean, that I allow to do, and that I can't look. I got up to a certain amount of money that I can sign off on, and then after that, you know, I got to go to my boss. There's certain privileges you have, but, you know, I can't do, like, everything. But, I mean, like, and try to make things stretch. So, say, like, if somebody class for $3, I readily give them one or two if I can, and save other three to give to other artists too. So that, you know, you can spread the word and spread the love.
Yes, that is you. That is you.
For everybody, you know?
Yes, that is you. And I think that's just phenomenal, bro. And I just want to tell you thanks for that. You know, thanks for looking out for the Barbadian artists and the culture still.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, for real, real, Ramo. Thanks for all the work you put in. It's not being easy, you know, and I ain't Ramesses, but you know it can't be easy being Ramesses, and you just do it so well still over all these years. Helpful, like you say, in your capacity as the brand manager, and then you still come and try to make yourself happy after you helping everybody else through music. Yeah. So I know what you go through as an artist just to put out good music consistently. Then this year there's no crop over, but you still went above and beyond. You went to Justy, who is great at what he does, writing, producing, whatever. And you, yeah, you say you work with Nicholas, you work with Darren Grant, Chris Salmo, you know, you call all the names. And you go above and beyond to make sure you still bring out a quality product. So, from Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, and from your brother, Sluggy Dan, bro, I really thank you for all the great work you do and continue to do, my brother. And I really look forward to much more conversations. Anytime you release songs, I tell you on air for Barbers to hear, you have an open invitation on my show, any show I'm doing, as you know already. Keep bringing the music here. And I appreciate everything you do, my brother, from the heart.
Well, thanks a lot, Spaghini. It was a pleasure being here. You know, I don't really like to, kind of blow my trumpet or nothing like that.
Yes.
I like to just kind of work, you know what I mean? But it's still, we want to do things. So we're looking at, you know, working with Marshall and you guys at the Sofa Yard, which was called the Sofa Yard. You know what I mean? We're doing some stuff, but I try my hardest. You know, we did Ram Off with Peter Ram last week at Matt Bryce. We got the other radio show coming up. So Dusty has a show coming up, hopefully, and next month as well. So, you know, I work with Hyperstone, so his show this year, he said he's not going to do it. But, you know, we're always willing to help. I don't want to say me, but the company Mount Gay, you know what I mean? Because Mount Gay is run by Barbados and stuff, and we're always willing to help.
Can't get it from me. Mount Gay is run by Barbados, buddy. Can't get
it. Yeah.
And next Friday, you stay with me too, boys. Next Friday.
Yeah, I do for sure. God's spare life, you know what I do.
Yes, thanks a lot. I hope to speak to you during fireworks as well. We know got music to bring. We know got stories to bring. So it's been great. My brother, Ronnie, what Ronnie got? Ronnie, I know Ronnie good. Ronnie got one of these tunes loaded up to take us out with. We can go to some Ramesses, play a couple. And I hope to speak to you in the very near future, my brother. Thank you very much. This has been Bridgen Rhythm and Rhyme with my brethren, Ramesses, manager, the daddy, you know, the husband, the father, the friend. And Ronnie told me about one of your good brothers from that ain't CPU as well, Olympian.
Yeah, go over.
Yeah. How is he doing? Quick before you go, how is he doing, man?
But he's good. He's in America. He's actually a big professor. No, he was here, I think, a year before he came out to Montgomery. He did a little tour and stuff like that. But he's doing amazing things, man. He's doing very, very good. And that is a good example to a never giving up. Because remember at school, we was talking about three times. We was tall, and wearing short pants. And look at him now, a big professor. So these are stories, you know what I mean? People out there listening, you never, ever give up, man. Just keep pushing.
Oh, brilliant.
For sure. And I got to shout out Peter Coffin as well, too, because I did a lot of work.
Yes, my brother Peter.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes. Bravo.
People like Malcolm X, all the guys, man.
Oh, yes. Malcolm X, Stussy. Ramesses, Wayne, down low. Oh, yes, we can't forget that.
True.
Yes, Rama, it's been great, boy. This has been a great... Yeah. This was not an interview. This was a conversation. Yeah. Yeah, this
is
a great conversation, my brother.
I remember times when Rufy won the Swift. You know that time I had a car and I ran a car. All of me, Ronnie, Rufy, all of me in one car. Going different places and we in one car squeeze up, boy. Remember those days? So the guys came a long way, man.
Yes, that is very, very true. Very, very true.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Clark.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's been great, my brother. I appreciate you for holding it down for me, taking care of making sure all the technicals handled. Have a great, great night, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Sluggy. Thank you, Ramesses, Pep Guardiola, a.k.a. Mr. Mount Gay, Mr. Remy Martin. Yes. All right, tracks called Addicted into Ramesses. And then we got some Crystal Cummings Beckles lined up as well. Remember, Fireworks Reloaded coming your way at 9 o'clock.